another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Small Business Consulting to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and nationally recognized accounting software expert Doug Slater. These highly sought-after thought leaders discuss the tricks and techniques used by the profession's top-performing small business accounting consultants. Learn what's hot and what's not as they cover QuickBooks, Peachtree, Microsoft Accounting, and the myriad of add-ons that make small businesses work better and help them be more profitable. Small Business Consulting to Go is sponsored by Bill Quick.
Good afternoon. Greg LaFollette for Intersection Live, the podcast series from the CPA Technology Advisor. This afternoon, and it is afternoon for, both for me and for my guest on the West Coast, it is Tuesday afternoon, the 22nd of January, and we're recording Episode 5 of Small Business Consulting to Go. My guest, Doug Slater. Hello, Doug.
How you doing, Greg?
Wonderful. Thanks so much for, again, sharing time. As my regular listeners know, you are the president of the Slater Group, although actually your wife Cheryl runs the joint and tells you what to do. I know
that's
that, right?
That's right. I work for her.
Okay, well, and as it should be, it
yep.
should be because brains should be running the place.
That's right.
Doug is widely recognized as the country's leading expert on small business consulting software. Kind of came out of the QuickBooks world originally, and Doug, you've expanded that to lots of different things, lots of products and things that add on to QuickBooks, also Peachtree, Microsoft Office Accounting, all sorts of different things. And we talked, way last summer about, couldn't we take some of all of that stuff that you've learned and put it together in a podcast series, and I think I plied you with alcohol and convinced you that you should agree to do that, and you did, and here we are doing Episode 5.
There we go. Easy enough.
Well, it's great that you're willing to do it, and it's fun to watch the listenership, or I call it readership, I guess it's listenership over here in the podcast world, continues to grow, and our friends down in LA at Bill Quick at BQE Software are kind enough to sponsor Small Business Consulting to Go. So we've got somebody to pay the bandwidth bills, and I certainly appreciate Shafat and his team at Bill Quick stepping up to sponsor us. These guys have been kind of ahead of the game for a long, long time on the software side, certainly on the marketing and the vision side. I've had several opportunities to sit and have dinner with Shafat Kazi. Well, in fact, Doug, with you.
Yes, and, actually, we've met with him many times. He's quite an entrepreneur.
Yeah, here's a guy that has real vision. And I think sponsoring you and I to do this podcast shows great vision and wonderful judgment, don't you, Doug?
Absolutely. Shafat is one of those guys who's ahead of all the rest of us. And so you got to just talk to him a lot, and you can kind of see where he reads tea leaves or something. One of those is podcasting. He's just all over the whole podcasting. That's how he does a lot of his reading. He does it by listening to podcasts in the car where he's commuting. He's in Los Angeles, so there's a lot of commute hours.
Right.
And he does it through his podcast, so.
Well, he's built that set of software, that Bill Quick stuff, that lays on top of QuickBooks and as a matter of fact, and Peachtree and Microsoft Office Accounting, and he went out and said, no sense in reinventing the wheel. I'll let them do the easy stuff, the debits and credits. I'll go out and do the hard stuff, the time and billing part, and to call it time and billing is almost kind of demeaning because it's so much more than that.
Yeah, project management.
Right.
Scheduling,
right.
Phases.
But awful good stuff, good people, and good software. So if you, as I've said before, if you're an accountant or an engineer or an architect, a consultant, you know, take a look at this stuff, and if it seems to fit your needs, and it most probably will, go ahead, sign up, buy it, call them up, tell them that the reason that you're there is because you listened to Doug Slater and La Follette on that Small Business Consulting to Go, and they'll keep paying our bills, and everybody will be great. So, with that said, just a couple of other things for those of you who happen to be relatively new users or new listeners. Understand that we do maintain a voicemail box. If you want to ask questions or join us or lots of different ways to interact, you go to our magazine website, to the CPA Technology Advisor. That's cpatechadvisor.com, or what I use, I call it the cheap and easy method, cpata.com. And you'll see there a quick little icon in the middle for all of the Intersection Live regularly recurring podcasts, and there's quite a family of them now. All of them, and each of them has a full set of show notes. So as we're going through here, when Doug mentions a product or a company name or something that we happen to be talking about, don't bother to, you know, you don't have to drop everything to try and scramble around and write it down. Just go to the show notes, and it'll all be there. So if you'd like to, if you want to call in and leave us a question, we occasionally take questions from the Peanut Gallery, and we'd love to have you. The number is 800-456-0864, and the extension is 2106. Again, that's 800-456-0864, extension 2106. And if you call in, leave us a question, we might even play it on the air or answer it, whatever we happen to do. And finally, if we're recording today live on TalkShoe, we actually have people listening in live for us right now, or in there I can see them queuing up there, so there are people out there listening. If you want to join us for future recordings, you can always find those future recordings on cpata.com or over on TalkShoe. Just type in Intersection Live, you'll find them all there. A lot of people now have just gone to iTunes, type in Intersection Live, subscribe, and then we'll just show up for you automatically if that's the way you'd like to interact with us. So lots of different possibilities there, Doug. You know, I know that you talk to a lot of people. A lot of people just grabbing us through that iTunes feed and right onto their iPod. Is that the way that you find people doing it?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny how this is a new technology, and I think we're all learning it. A lot of people have been doing it for years. I think that the podcasting world is growing quickly. And so we really appreciate all of you out there who are listening to us through this new thing. It's going to become the way we all do things in the future.
Well, yep, and the subtext to that is tell your friends.
That's right.
Because we certainly want to continue doing this, and it seems to be going very well. So away we go from there. So
mm-hmm.
Doug, last month we were talking about some different parts of where we were going. We're actually talking about payroll, and as a part of that, we decided that this month we're going to actually have a guest, and a little later on we'll bring that guest on, and we'll go back and talk a little bit more about that payroll and one of your awesome add-ons. But before that, I want to take that topic that you introduced last month, and you said you wanted to talk about adding merchant accounts to QuickBooks. You know, there are so many of our clients out there who are doing business on the web. And there's so much of this web 2.0 stuff, the intersection and the connection between QuickBooks and their website and their credit cards and all of that stuff. It all kind of centers around this thing called a merchant account. And I'm not sure that I know what a merchant account is, so let's do it this way. I know this will take not very much of a stretch of your imagination, but pretend I'm really dumb and tell me what a merchant account is.
Well, now, don't demean yourself that much, but anyway, it's still a good idea just to kind of break this down from the very beginning. I mean, if you are a business owner and you want to accept credit cards from your customers, quite simply, you need a merchant account. And a merchant account is, it's essentially a contract between you and your bank or some institution who offers merchant accounts. And merchant accounts have a couple different features. There's a couple different pieces of it. There's a bank that actually funds monies to Visa and MasterCard when somebody charges their card. So there's a bank involved. There's a processor involved, there's a gateway involved, and a processor and a gateway are just sort of the behind-the-scenes techie stuff that has to happen.
So I have to go get a bank and a credit card guy and a processor, and so there's lots of people I have to involve, huh?
No, actually, that's the good news.
Okay.
You can go and do a relationship with any of a number, I don't know, there are probably 20 different options for you to just go sign up in one place, and they will be the merchant bank account, and they will have a processor that you hook up with. So it's sort of a one relationship play.
Okay, so
in many cases.
It's a one-stop shop, but I have lots of different places I can go,
mm-hmm.
and I suppose the default, the quick and easy way is just to go right into it, because they do that, right?
Well, they do. Intuit bought a company called Innovative Merchant Solutions.
Which is
and,
a bank, right?
What's that?
That's really a bank, right?
Well, they're the combination of a merchant bank and a processor and a gateway all in one. They happen
okay.
to be one company that does it all.
All right.
So yes. And they will set up for you an account, and it's actually all integrated with QuickBooks. So you do that through actually going into QuickBooks, and just under the customers menu, there's a place that you can go to credit card processing activities as a menu choice under the customers menu. And you can just say, learn about merchant account processing or processing credit cards or something like that.
Okay.
And it takes you through the steps to actually sign up.
So if I do that, I assume they kind of default to the Intuit one. What if I pick brand X?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to mention a name, Authorize.net, as a sort of a different, maybe competing company. Authorize.net is a processor that you can go to and set up your account there. Of course, you have to, if you go to them, they will do all the computer side of this, of allowing you to charge cards and stuff. But you'd need to have a relationship with a merchant bank. There's several different places you can go get these things set up. The difference, I'm not really trying to sell the Innovative Merchant Solutions. In a minute, I'll talk about how they're different and some of the trade-offs. But the Innovative Merchant Solutions process is through the QuickBooks interface because it's an Intuit company.
Sure.
And others are outside. But it is possible to get some others, meaning, let's say, I'll just again, pick on Authorize.net, and use that to charge cards from within the QuickBooks interface if you buy an application that plugs into QuickBooks to do that.
Okay.
So the idea is that, you want to keep going or you want me to...
No, go ahead.
Yeah. The idea is the business... takes orders either over the counter or on the phone. And customers give you credit cards. And you need to charge those, and you either charge them within the QuickBooks screens where there you bring up a sales receipt, and there's actually a little button down near the bottom that says charge credit card when saving, meaning save your transaction of a sale, and it goes and it has you type in or swipe the credit card on the keyboard, little swiper thing that you can buy, and it charges the customer's card. And this just, you know, it replaces the old world. If you remember back when barely the credit card companies were coming out with those electronic things that dialed the phone that had numbers on them, and you had to buy those things or rent them for $20 a month or whatever, those little credit card processing machines aren't needed anymore, because that software that's inside those machines is now available within QuickBooks and then within several add-on products if you don't use the QuickBooks merchant solution.
Okay. So, Doug, you mentioned somebody standing there live or somebody on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that I can extend that to all these clients or these clients of ours who now are running web stores, or is that a whole other part of a conversation?
Well, it kind of is. It gets us into other areas of the conversation,
okay,
for sure. But from the standpoint of getting a merchant account, clearly if you have a web store, then you've got customers logging into your web store and typing in their credit card numbers. And there has to be something there to charge and deposit that money into your bank account, and that will be your merchant account.
Okay.
Many web store providers give you an option to add their merchant account to your web store. So that process is the same, but notice that when the when the customer's typing in their own orders on the web in the middle of the night, you're obviously not using QuickBooks to do any of the charging. The charging happens somewhere else, and then those charges show up in your bank account. And then the challenge becomes getting the data from that sale into your QuickBooks or Peachtree or Office Accounting or whatever accounting software you have.
Sure.
The data from the charge has to get into your bank account and into your accounting system.
And somehow I'd like to be able to reconcile when I make that, you know, credit sale debit cash.
Yes.
I'd like to be able to reconcile that, or cash in bank, I guess. I'd like to be able to reconcile that debit to the bank account that's gonna, you know, when I take a look at the bank statement, I want to be able to reconcile those.
Yes. And this is where the consultants who are listening to us should seize the opportunity to go out and find good solutions to this problem, because there still are just too many complexities to that particular problem of getting the bank deposits to match up with your credit card sales on the web store versus the directly entered into QuickBooks versus maybe another data point. Maybe you have QuickBooks point of sale and you've got a retail shop and an online store and you type it into QuickBooks. There's a lot of data points that may be sending money into your bank account, and the more the better, but it does cause problems for the bookkeeper when reconciling the bank if all these things don't show up together in proper batches and those sorts of things.
So let me ask a couple of questions, Doug. I've seen, you know, in its very simplest form, somebody walks in the door and they buy $10 worth of widgets. And I take their credit card, I swipe it, and the credit card is automatically, we've got a system that handles that and puts that money in my account. Except I don't necessarily get $10. I may get $9.40.
Yeah, good issue.
And I may actually, it might be all by itself, or if right after that somebody else came in and bought $100, and with that one I get $99, whatever the numbers are.
Sure.
But I don't really get $99. Now I get one deposit for $108.96.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've got is $110. Now I don't know what really makes up that $108 deposit. So I got really, there's two problems in there, right? One, there's a some of the banks like to take that discount every time they go through.
Yes.
And then they group things in crazy fashions, right?
Yeah, so actually there's two good issues there. And
okay.
I want to start off with the one that you talked about when you first charged the guy's card for $100 and your bank account only received 98 or whatever.
Okay.
And that is when, so we call that method, the discount is taken with each sale.
Okay.
And the discount is the difference between the 100 and the 98, and that's called a discount, and it's what the merchant account and processor, it's their fee for doing the service of getting your money.
Sure, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Not really,
you signed up for it.
Well, true. Well, usually when you sign up, you get to choose. And I'm going to make a recommendation that everybody chooses to have those fees taken once a month instead of with every charge.
Bingo. But it didn't used to be that way.
No, you used to not have the choice. That's right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And what I found clients doing, and I don't want to get too far off track
right.
here, but what I found clients doing is they'd have that, you know, this case, that $100 sale and a $98 deposit, the bookkeeper would simply make an entry to debit credit card expense $2.
Yep.
Well, if you only got one transaction, that's okay.
Yeah.
But if I've got 1,000 transactions,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's now a bigger number,
yeah.
And all they were doing is reconciling cash
right.
by debiting simply debiting expense.
Yeah.
Not a very good plan.
No, it's not good. And you know, the number of transactions you'd have in the general ledger for all those little things, those of us who are auditors go crazy when we think about that methodology. Doing the monthly recording of a journal entry or something to record the hit to your bank account, so credit your bank account and debit your credit card expense when you have the statement probably from the credit card company, I think is just so much simpler and makes all the sense in the world. So
okay, so I mean if somebody's out there with clients that are suffering with that, first thing you got to do is go to who. To
right.
get that changed.
Yeah, the merchant account provider, whoever it is, will probably allow you to switch your discount fees to monthly instead of every charge. And if they won't do that, I would say consider switching merchant accounts because
right.
almost all of them will.
Right. This is, you know, in a lot of ways, this reminds me back in the olden days, we used to have cash discounts.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd have a manufacturer that would, one manufacturer would record as income discounts taken, and another one right down the street would record as expense discounts lost.
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little tortured.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that kind of covers the first one, the discount right at the taken at the transaction or at the end of the month.
Right.
What about the second one when you get this great big, hopefully it's a great big honking deposit, and how do you tell which transactions made that up and which ones are still floating around?
Right. Because to extend the scenario beyond just what you said there, which ones are still floating around is the issue, because some people's credit cards, if you charge them today, they will show up in a deposit in your account tomorrow or the next day. Hopefully, all of the people's cards that you charge today, and there's some cutoff point, let's say 9 p.m.,
right.
On every day, there's a cutoff. All of those in today's date up to 9 p.m. will be batched together, so they're called batches, and deposited into your bank account together, and it usually is about a 2 or 3 days delay all the MasterCard and Visas go together, all the Amexes are separate, and all, well, what I mean is all of the Amexes are separate from the Visa Masters. They're not, you know,
right.
So you get a badge for Visa MasterCard, you get a badge for Amex, and you get another badge for Discover, and then some of those other credit
cards. The diners and the
things.
Rest of those.
Right. So
you actually kind of take those, all the rest of those, the Amex, Discover, and diners, and kind of actually, I mean, not that they're not important, but you put them off to the side because the vast majority here are
Visa Master.
Depending on your business, I guess,
sure.
Almost all of the vast majority are Visa and MasterCard, right?
That's true. Amex is pretty common. We find Amex to be, well, a third as much as the rest of the combined Visa,
sure.
Master.
Yeah, depending on, if you're in a restaurant, it might be a lot more.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. So anyway, theoretically, back to my scenario, all of today's sales up to 9 p.m. are deposited about 2 days later, and it varies depending on your merchant account. It'll be deposited in your bank account 2 days later in one big batch. So theoretically, it's really easy just to go back and, from the bookkeeper's perspective, just say, make deposit in QuickBooks and find all the ones that are dated today. Click, 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 click. And the, you know, select only the Visa MasterCard types. Click them all together. They add together, and they put a little chunk in your bank. And theoretically, that'll totally match up with your year, your monthly and bank statement, and everybody's happy. Now, the reason that this is why you brought this up, I think, is because sometimes, well, let's say somebody's MasterCard is a special MasterCard, and it doesn't somehow get into today's batch because that's held another day. So it's dated today, but it doesn't go into the day after tomorrow's batch. For some reason, it ends up on the next day's batch. These are the types of things that drives the bookkeeper crazy, because the bookkeeper has to match the deposit in the bank with the batch that actually hit the bank. And is in QuickBooks. And one way of thinking is to just say, forget all the detail. Just run a separate bank account in QuickBooks called Credit Card Clearing. Just dump all your credit card detail into that, and then when you get the bank statement, just transfer however much hit the bank in reality. Just transfer that from Credit Card Clearing in batches, or, you know, in total, just transfer money from Credit Card Clearing to checking.
Okay.
Now, the accountant in me loves that, but the customer service person in me hates that, because what if Jane Doe, who charged their card, we supposedly took an order from Jane Doe, and her card never got charged. And by the way, we never even really got her order. And by the way, we never really even shipped her product, because we never even did any reconciliation to discover the problem. So on the one hand, this is an accounting problem, but maybe on the most important hand, it is a customer service problem.
Sure it is.
And we need to find those charges, however little, and we need to know whether they were delivered in whatever way that means for your business. So these are tough problems, and this is why I talk about it today, because it's something that the consultants who are listening have to really be aware of what's going on, how to streamline this. I've got a couple, you know, products out there that I can recommend if you want to kind of go to a couple different solutions to the problems.
These are kind of the these aren't merchant solutions. These are what I would call them all integrators, right? They put these two things together to make your life simpler.
Yeah, smart people out there who understood this problem and attempted to solve it in the best way they could.
Okay, so
there's a couple approaches to the problem. First, if you use the QuickBooks merchant account solution, which I think the vast majority of people will choose who have QuickBooks, because it's integrated so perfectly with QuickBooks.
Right.
If you use that, there's a process in the Make Deposit screen that says Get Funding Status. It's something they added to the software 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And so I can actually see in the Make Deposit screen, where I'm supposed to group all the things together, I can click this button that says Get Funding Status. what that does is it goes out online to the merchant account and it says, show me all the ones that, that got into a batch and has it funded to the bank, yes or no. And then I can just grab all those together, and that will then match with my with what actually.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's very nice.
Yes, it is.
And as long as all of your activity is done through the QuickBooks interface, meaning no web store involved, meaning no other third party hitting on the credit card, then that just works perfectly. So definitely look into that if that's the scenario.
Okay.
Now, it gets a little more complicated when you have a web store out there, which might be using, let's say, authorize.net to do its gateway transactions. And those are actually getting into your bank account, too. They may actually be combined with those ones that came from the QuickBooks merchant process. So what QuickBooks sees in this get funding status may actually not be the whole story. It might be those plus some others. And that's where it gets a little harder. Well, a lot harder. Let me just say it that way. Don't have
well, if it weren't hard, if it weren't hard, we wouldn't need you.
That's right. That's right. For that one, I don't have a perfect solution yet. I am in research mode now. But I discovered several different, one that I'm really going to go test out. And it's something called Credit Card Charger from a company called Atandra Systems.
Okay.
And that's Atandra, Atandra.com.
Right. And they'll be in our show notes.
Right, right. And if you use authorize.net, you can go to Atandra and get this credit card charger product. And it integrates into the QuickBooks. It's a piece of software. It integrates into the QuickBooks interface. But it's instead of using the QuickBooks native thing, which says process credit card when saving, but it works very similarly. So I'll bring up a sale in QuickBooks, and I will complete the sale, and I'll say OK. And it'll bring up a little window. It says, do you want to charge this customer's credit card? And it takes you off into their software to put all the credit card details in. It does the charging, and it does the batching very well through authorize.net. They allow you to process, you know, transactions of selling credits, batching things together, reconciliation help. So it's very complete in this way. And the reason I'm tempted big time by this product is that it can also handle other, let's say, my web store that is handing transactions to authorize.net. Well, it'll handle that stuff, and it'll see all that activity because it's looking to authorize.net, and it'll help me do the reconciliations much easier than if I've got some sort of combined QuickBooks merchant account with an e-commerce store.
Sure.
So
interesting to me, Doug, is now this is what I'm going to call local software. This is software that runs on your machine. It's interesting as you think about this because some of it is local and some of it is web-based and it's all kind of getting mixed up and I'm not even sure if users should really care about that anymore, should they?
Well, that's interesting. My sort of view on this is today's world, we pretty much still have everybody running QuickBooks on a local area network deployed basis.
Uh-huh.
Means it's on the bookkeeper's machine. If there's multi-user going on, they're mostly in the local office. But, Greg, I know you use the QuickBooks Online Edition, and so your software is all up in the ether, and you're not using something local. So this product that I just talked about wouldn't be something that you would use at all.
Right.
I think you'd still have the same issue, though, even if your software was online.
Sure you would.
Yeah.
Sure you would. So this Atandra stuff, and we'll have that in the show notes. Now, there's another way that does that. Doesn't Personable have that that data mover thing?
Yes, something called
the same thing with a but different.
Well, no, it's very different. And there's sort of like four other way. Well, one big other way of dealing with the problem. The credit card charger kind of gets into the workflow of charging the cards. That's why it's cool. The other way is let the cards all be charged, however they are, and then do some sort of downloadable IIF or text or CSV file-like thing, and get a piece of software that knows how to read that data and put those transactions into QuickBooks.
Okay.
And that is, well, as soon as you go there, you get techie. And the techiness is something that I get nervous about having clients do for themselves, because once I try to teach the bookkeeper how it works, and then one day it's a little different and there's something that doesn't work right. But it's basically an import the data into QuickBooks process. And usually when you do that, some are better than others. I'll give you a couple names. Actually, Atandra does some other product, one called T-Hub for web stores. It takes web store data and brings it down and sends it into QuickBooks.
So they basically kind of say there's a couple of ways to do it, and
yeah,
and we're gonna sell a solution for whichever way you want to go.
That's right. That's what Atandra is doing with the credit card charger on the one hand and T-Hub on the other. And then Data Mover, you just mentioned that Personable. Personable.com has Data Mover, and that's a product essentially. It's similar to T-Hub in a way, in that it reads a downloaded bunch of data in a CSV-like format and allows you to push that into transactions in QuickBooks.
Okay. So, well, Doug, as is usual, we're getting very close to the end of our allotted time, and we have a guest that we want to bring in and visit with a little bit. Can we kind of wrap up all of these billing solution things?
Sure.
This whole
yeah.
merchant solution. Have we covered this for?
Well,
for
pretty
the
much.
Consultants out there.
Yeah, I think my main point to the consultants and to the small business owners. Here we are in January. You should be looking at streamlining your business to make things go more smoothly. The merchant account was obviously a clear winner in terms of getting your payments in. And then another way is using Intuit has this thing called online billing solutions, and that's you can email invoices and statements, and then you can have your clients receive them via email and then pay them online right there by clicking in the email. That's compelling.
And then that comes right back to you automatically, right?
In fact, yeah, you get an email saying, hey, you've received a payment. Click here to download your payments into QuickBooks so you don't have to do the data entry. So number one, you get paid faster. Number two, you don't have to do the data entry to pull the received payments in. So that's billing solutions. Again, it's right in the QuickBooks customers menu if you want to research it. Something that we could spend probably 6 months on is web stores and getting their receipts down into QuickBooks. I think we shouldn't go there now, but I want everybody to be thinking about if there's a web store. By the way, almost everybody needs a web store now if they're in business and selling
right.
anything. Getting that data into QuickBooks, how are you going to do it? And you need to have a strategy before you just go do a web store because it'll certainly cause the bookkeeper some hassle. And you need to be prepared as a consultant to choose the right solution, choose the right methodology for those receipts to come in to the operation to get shipped, packed, picked and packed, UPS labels, and then transactions into the accounting system.
Well, let's do this, Doug. Let's schedule another session to just plain do the whole web store thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That's a huge thing. I mean, I've talked to, I can't tell you how many different software vendors who've got web stores out there, and we can talk about the good and the bad and the ugly and all sorts of things like that.
Yes, I think March or April we can have one of our awesome add-on winners that was a web store provider.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's
do that.
Let's use that as a segue. So you're talking about awesome add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use that as a segue to bring our guest in. And this is kind of an interesting one. This is one of your awesome add-ons. The company is PayCycle, and This is a group that that I've been watching for a very long time. I'm a huge fan of payroll. Of accountants doing payroll. I'm a huge fan of what I would call Web 2.0, if that's what this is a process. Where the accountant is in control and he or she can kind of dole out different amounts of work to different clients. And you got a company here, Rene Lassert went out and founded this several years ago. They've grown very, very handsomely and done just a great job and really interesting stuff. We gave them an innovation award a couple of years ago from the CPA Technology Advisor. And then last year, Doug, at your conference, I'm sitting there listening to your awesome add-ons, and you announced that you're going to give an awesome add-on to PayCycle. And I thought, what in the world are you doing giving an awesome add-on? They're not really an add-on. They're really a great product and a nice bunch of people, but they're not really an add-on. But you decided to give them an add-on anyway.
Yeah. This company has really kind of differentiated themselves on several levels. And when my awesome add-on awards are something I give every year to people in the, I just call it the QuickBooks small business accounting ecosystem, if you will.
Sure.
And this is all the products that kind of add value to the consultant and small business owner out there who need to get their accounting done well. And I looked at PayCycle, and I looked at their penetration into the marketplace, and I look into my own group, this Leader Group Consultant Network, and there are so many rabid fans out there of PayCycle.
It's good stuff. Now we've got to bring our guest in here pretty soon because I know she's chomping on the bit to the other end to jump in here. I'm going to bring Julie in right now. I'm having a little bit of a technical problem. There we go. Julie Lubikin from PayCycle. Good afternoon, Julie.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate your giving us some time, and you're just kind of across the bay from Doug, who's over in Pleasanton, and you're over in Palo Alto, and life is good out there, right?
It is good, and it's really good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. So I assume you were listening to us prattle on a little bit about our backgrounds with PayCycle and kind of watching you as you've grown and become a real force in the accounting profession, and an awful lot of firms kind of looking at you saying, you know what? You make getting into the payroll business easy enough that I'm going to go back and do that after I got out of it 25 years ago. You see a lot of firms doing that. At least I certainly do because I'm old, and those are all of my peers. So you've done some interesting things, and now Doug plucked you out here last year to give you an awesome add-on. So Doug, tell me a little bit about, as you selected them, you got a whole bunch of people in your group that use PayCycle.
Mm-hmm.
What about them attracts so many consultants?
Right. I think it's kind of back to what you were saying. I think there's a lot of accountants, practitioners out there who decided long ago they would not do payroll because it was too expensive, too hard, too difficult problems that would arise, and that was because the model was do it in my office with software probably local that probably didn't work, probably wasn't updated, probably all sorts of reasons. It wasn't a profitable business. But I think what happened is with PayCycle's online model where everything is up to date, always there, it's so darn affordable, it's something like $15 a client. For like up to five, or maybe Julie can say that five or 10 people for up to $15 a month. I mean, now you can make money if you're paying that to the software product provider and doing the service to do their payroll. So these people are coming to me and saying, Doug, this is good stuff. So
well, let's do this. Let me toss this this over to Julie. Julie, give me the elevator speech. You're at an accounting conference. You just got on the elevator and you got a half dozen accountants there, and somebody turns around and says, well, Julie, what does PayCycle do? And we're going to floor 37.
Okay, so I have a little while, but not too long. So what I would say, I would let them know that there is an opportunity to earn a profit with payroll. So I would encourage them to take on payroll if they're not already doing it. All of our data, our research supports exactly what Greg, you and Doug have been saying. 37% of our accountants never did payroll before coming to PayCycle. So I would tell these accountants in the elevator that we make it easy and profitable for them.
Okay, so now let me push that just a little bit farther. We let these guys out at 37th floor, and now we're going up some more. tell me what, you know, Doug described doing payroll back in the olden days, and I will tell you that I did payroll way back in the olden days on an IBM System 34, mm-hmm. and, you know, one day somebody from one of the big payroll companies came in and told me that I was too smart, too talented, and too valuable to do that low-level payroll work, and I should quit that and give it to them and go on to do things that I was trained to do because I was very smart. And so I gave up my payroll, and, 25 years later, ADP is an $8 billion company, and the average accounting firm does $500,000. So I guess we know, where the money is. But it was hard back then. What do you do to make it easier?
We do a number of things. So one of the first things I'd mention is that doing online payroll with PayCycle means that you can do payroll at any time or anywhere. So you're not tied down to be at your office. If you can go on vacation, you can run payroll from a mobile device. You can run payroll from a cyber cafe on another continent. Payroll can be done anywhere. Another thing that we do is to give and you mentioned this earlier, Greg, enable clients to have access to the product so that the accountant doesn't have to do all the work. The accountant can really customize the level of access for each client depending on how much access the accountant is comfortable with. So the client can be doing things like entering the payday information. They can be helping set up the account, and the accountant can then monitor it and do the tax information, for example, and the tax payments and filings.
Mm-hmm. So, Julie, just to take this down to its simplest form, one of the issues in payroll processing was always, how do I get the hours and current deduction stuff from my client? And the client would, you know, fill out a worksheet, fax it in, or however it came in, and then we'd have to sit down and key punch that in. Well, now you can, I mean, if I had that as a particular client, I'd say, well, you know, rather than faxing it in, just go to this website and enter it. And the website is actually the PayCycle website. Or, I mean, they're keying it directly into the software. So I no longer have to do that. But I also don't, I mean, I can protect them from doing something really stupid.
That's right. So you're exactly right. It is the client can enter the information into the PayCycle website. And one of the great things about this, too, is that the website looks like the accountant's website. So the PayCycle name isn't mentioned at all. The client believes they're entering it into the accountant's product.
So the client looks at it and says, wow, my accountant has a special, separate, like portal, everything's a portal, is a separate portal just for payroll, just for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. We've gotten a lot of good feedback on that.
Yeah, really, you're really making me look smart to my client, and there's nothing better than giving me a tool that, number one, makes me make the money, but then make me look smart, like it's software that I designed and put up there, too. That's really cool stuff.
Well, speaking of being smart, one of the things that that you guys actually pioneered at PayCycle not long ago, by the way, unfortunately for you, I suppose, quickly copied by all of your competitors, but you pioneered free payroll for accountants. Tell me about how that works.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Greg. So we actually have an offer right now, and we've been taken up on it by several hundred accountants, where we're offering free payroll, actually just for a year, through February 29th, 2008. So for accountants that sign up to run their payroll with PayCycle, they can have free payroll for 1 year.
Okay, now, just to clarify that, that's payroll for your accounting firm.
Sorry, that's correct.
Not,
it is
payroll for the bus company.
No, it is not client payroll. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay.
It is payroll for the accounting firm.
Well, and the beauty of that is then if you use PayCycle to do your own payroll, you figure out how darn easy it is, and you seek both sides of it, and it makes it very, very easy to talk to your client and say, look, I eat my own dog food. You know, this is what I use, what we use here at my office.
Yeah, and that's actually exactly what we're hearing. We've had this offer out for about 6 months, and the feedback from accountants has been very positive. Hearing that, you know, the accountants will try it for their firm first and then start adding clients. And we've had, several accounting firms adding anywhere from one to well over 100 clients after trying it themselves.
Well, that's got to be impressive. Care to share with me, Julie, how many accounting firms are running payroll with PayCycle?
Yeah, well, we have over 20,000 small businesses right now. So right now that are being taken care of by accountants.
Uh-huh.
That are running payroll for these small businesses. Overall, PayCycle has over 60,000 small businesses. So you can see that the accounting professionals represent, you know, a good part of our business and a very, very fast-growing part of our business.
Right. Well, the beauty of what you've done is you've actually made it possible, and I was standing by your trade show booth, last fall at one of the shows, listening to one of your salespeople explain to an accountant how they did completely paperless payroll. And I was pretty impressed with that process because with the delivery of pay stubs by email and direct deposit and all this web stuff, there's no paper anywhere.
Yeah, that's correct. We feel that if payroll can be done paperlessly, it's easier, it's faster, and it's profitable. And we've seen that the accountants using PayCycle are making 50% to 70% gross profit on payroll.
Well, it's pretty neat stuff. So, Doug, you chose PayCycle as an awesome add-on because they're such great citizens of this ecosystem that you so well described. How do they get to be part of the ecosystem over, for example, on the QuickBooks side or one of the other, so I'm using PayCycle, how does that impact my accounting software?
Yeah, that's the key is once you finish the payroll, you still need to get the data into QuickBooks. And PayCycle does the best you can do when you've got a product like theirs, and that is they use a downloadable file that you import the IIF, which is one of those bad words now, the IIF import. But I've talked a lot with the engineers at PayCycle and with the folks at Intuit about the problem that they face. And so far, that's been the best methodology to get the data in. So it is an electronic import of the data into QuickBooks. I'll tell you one thing where if the client needs to do job costing of the payroll, then PayCycle may not be the best answer. pretty much for all the others, it's fine. The data that comes in doesn't give you all the details of every single little deduction and earnings item and vacation pay and all that, because that data stays with PayCycle, and you can get your reports out of PayCycle for that level of information.
Sure.
But the debits and credits that hit the general ledger come in quite nicely, and you can do all your reconciliations and those sorts of things.
Well, I think that's really smart, and I guess it would be almost a tip of the hat, Julie, to you and your team over at PayCycle, because you're very, very dedicated in terms of what you do and what you don't do. You actually have a hard stop at the top for a certain number of employees, and you just say when you come out, we are not the answer for everything, but but when we are the answer, we're a darn good answer. Isn't that's kind of the mantra there?
Yes, we really feel, that's right, we really feel like we understand the small business, and we're very focused on small business and small business payroll.
And what is small business? What's your top employee count?
So the top would be 50 employees. We find that most of the businesses start out between 1 and 20, and then they can grow up to 50. And we feel that that is our sweet spot, so to speak.
Okay. Well, Julie, throw in a website and some contact information, and tell us about that free offer again before we let you go.
Sure. Well, thanks for the opportunity. So you can sign up at paycycle.com. And that free offer, as I mentioned, for payroll for accounting firms will be available till February 29th. You can also email us at sales@paycycle.com.
Okay. Well, that's all pretty straightforward. That will all obviously be in the show notes. And you're there. Your desk is getting a little crowded now. You've got the awesome add-on award. You've got the innovation award. You got a bunch of other awards. So your job is about done, right?
Oh, it's never done. But one thing you didn't mention, Greg, is we just won the Reader's Choice Award from the
That's
CPA
right.
Technology. We are so thrilled about that award, because we really feel we're thrilled about all of them. But that was really nice to hear accountants saying that they really, really liked using PayCycle.
Well, that's that is fun. We do the Reader's Choice Awards, which is certainly not scientific. It's kind of a popularity contest, but it's nice to be popular, right?
We were thrilled. We were thrilled to win that award.
Well, it's that's fun, and congratulations to you. So, Julie, listen, we're going to have to wrap up here, and I very much appreciate your joining us this afternoon. We appreciate you taking the time, and you guys keep up the good work. You and Jim have built a great team there, and you're just chugging away, and you keep coming up with better things all the time. Maybe you get another awesome add-on or something here one of these days.
Thank you. We really appreciate your words.
Okay. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, Doug, as is usual, we've gone way over time, but fortunately, this isn't a radio show, so we can talk as long as we want, right?
Yeah, no interruptions for ads or anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we do actually have to end. And speaking of interruption for ads, I'll again throw in a quick mention of our sponsor for Small Business Consulting to Go. Our sponsor is Bill Quick, the guys over at BQE, and they certainly have some good stuff over there. So give them a look if it's appropriate. Our telephone number again, 800-456-0864, extension 2106. We are recording next month on February, Doug, what's our date? I was going to say it was February 15th. That's
February 20th.
Yes.
At 11:30 Pacific.
Okay, February 20th, 11:30 Pacific, and what do you want to talk about next month, next time around? Do you want to tell anybody, or should we make it a secret next time?
Well, I think I want to continue a bit of the discussion we've had on the online downloading of credit cards, but switch over to the other side of it. So
okay.
Online customer invoicing and credit card purchasing. So what if you've got a credit card and you're out there buying stuff, and how do you get those transactions down? There's some good stories there.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll do a little bit about that. And I was thinking next month we could maybe have our BillQuick sponsor be our awesome add-on of the month, if you're up for that, Greg.
Okay, I think that's just fine. We'll see if we can't arrange for one of those guys to get on the line with us, and we can talk a little bit about why BillQuick was an awesome add-on. That's a pretty easy conversation.
Sure.
One I'm certainly comfortable having, because they've done a great job over there. So, with that, I think we are totally out of time, and we're going to have to end here. So, Doug, again, as usual, thanks so much for your time and your expertise and everything you do for the profession. I appreciate your joining me, and you know, kind of like you said, PayCycle makes accountants look smart. Thanks for you making us look smart. I appreciate your time and look forward to visiting with you again next month. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Greg.
That wraps up this edition of Small Business Consulting to Go. Join Greg and Doug again next month for more insight and advice you can trust. This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.